I'm excited about opening this series today because we are family. We are a faith family. Let me just set the table here for a moment today, because some in the room today, you are blessed to have your blood family with you. You are blessed to have your kids maybe a part of the same church, or you know, your spouse, whatever comprises your family. I know family units are much different in 2021 than they were in the 1950s or 60s or even in the 70s. It's not always mom and dad and all of their children sitting on a church pew. Sometimes kids have scattered. Sometimes parents have scattered. I know the family unit looks much different. If you are blessed today to have all of your family in the house, then indeed you are blessed. And then there are others who may be here by themselves. Maybe they hope that one day their family will join them, or maybe they are hoping their family never finds out where they are. I don't know exactly what your status may be. I don't know exactly where you fall on the spectrum. But I've come to really appreciate this term, and it is family of choice. Often, my faith family, they are my family of choice. You say, Pastor Darrell, that sounds really harsh. Now, the reality is often I am closer to my faith family than I am my blood family. And we can argue about the right or the wrong of that. You may feel some, bristle on that. Well, wait a minute, that's my family, and family is everything. And family is everything right up until they are toxic or their dysfunction begins to affect you negatively. And I'm not trying to separate families today. If you've been around, I'm not going to qualify my preaching today, but if you've been around for the last 3.5 years, I'm trying to make families stronger. I'm trying to bring families together. I'm trying to hold marriages together and rescue your kids, your teenagers, and we want families to be strong. But I'm also going to give you permission to follow God even if they don't. To run after God even if they are choosing not to. I may teach more about this somewhere along the way in this series, but let me say it this way. Sometimes your family needs a break from your family. Head scratcher. Sometimes your immediate family needs a break from your extended family. Because we excuse so much because it's family. We'll subject our kids to environments that we would never, ever allow them to be in. And we excuse it as, well, they're family, you know. I mean, I know that's Uncle so-and-so and he's a little crazy. And no, I don't let my kids go hang out with neighbors who parents live that way or talk that way or act that way, but because it's family. Sometimes you need to take a break from family and say, you know what, kids, let's make sure we understand what our values are. Let's make sure we understand who we are in this season. It's not about separating families. It's about making families stronger. And trust me, it is as challenging to teach on family in 2021 as it is to live family. Because family has become complex. And we have to keep in perspective. We have to keep in perspective this. It doesn't come down to family. It comes down to faith. It doesn't come down to family. It comes down to faith. Luke 18:8, Jesus is saying, when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on the earth. When Jesus returns, is he going to find, he didn't say, am I going to find families all tight-knit, right together? Am I going to find faith on the earth? I'm looking for faith. It comes down to faith and not to family. My prayer is that when Jesus comes, he's going to find my entire family serving him and loving his church. But the truth is, I can't wait on the knuckleheads. I can't wait to accomplish his will in my life. I can't wait to do his purpose in my life. I can't wait to do what he has called me to do while someone else is still deciding. I have got to do what God has called me to do. I can't live less than what I know is right because I'm related to someone who disagrees. I refuse to stay stuck just because there are generations of stuck people that have gone before me. Whether they are financially stuck, whether they are educationally stuck, whether their dreams are stuck. I can't wait. I can't wait. Well, my family, we just don't go to college. My family, we just don't read books. That's just not who we are. You could be different. You could do different. That's not talking bad about the people before you. When you know better, you do better. When you grow, you live in that growth and you walk in that maturity and you live what God has called you to live. And I'll tell you more truth. I can't compromise my morals simply because I share a name with others who live immoral. I didn't expect this to be tight today. I got a smile on my face, I promise. The reality is there is stress in our families. And we get defensive. Pastor, that's my family. It doesn't come down to family, it comes down to faith. So let me work out a little bit in Timothy, 2 Timothy chapter 1. Paul is writing to Timothy and calls him his dear son. These men are not related. They are family of choice. And yet you can see the love and the honor that is between these two men. 2 Timothy chapter 1, you can follow along on the screen or join me in your Bible or on your device. Verse 3, Timothy, I thank God for you, the God I serve with a clear conscience. You know what Paul is saying? Paul is saying, I serve him with a clear conscience because I have not always been a godly man. I've not always been able to say that. I've not always served him. In fact, I have fought him. I have fought his church. I have been a part of persecuting the church, but God has done a work in my life and I am truly redeemed. And so I thank God for you, the God I serve with a clear conscience. I am not living in guilt. There is therefore now no condemnation. I am free in Jesus. He said, just as my ancestors did. Night and day, I constantly remember you in my prayers. I long to see you again, for I remember your tears as we parted. And I will be filled with joy when we are together again. This is just a side note today, but I want you to notice the clear expression of love between these two men. It's not weird. It's not perverted. It's not twisted by the world. They literally leave nothing unsaid between the two of them. Most people are shocked to know that men feel this way about one another, or that men actually express themselves in this way toward one another. The world has perverted that. The world has messed all of that up. But as family, whether you are blood family or faith family, whether you are family of kin or whether you are family of choice, we need to communicate our feelings for and to one another. Because the truth is, we never know how many more opportunities we will have. We never truly know the other chances we're going to have to express ourselves, and we really do not want to leave anything unsaid. But notice verse 5. He said, I remember your genuine faith, for you share the faith that first filled your grandmother Lois and your mother Eunice. I knew your grandmama and them. I knew Lois, and I knew your mama Eunice. And Timothy, your faith looks familiar. Your faith looks a lot like Grandma Lois. Your faith looks a lot like Mother Eunice's. Your faith looks like family. And I know that same faith continues strong in you. He said, I'm not even basing your faith on theirs. What I've seen is you take this personal. I've seen you take this full on for yourself. You're not trying to live in their shadow. You're not always saying, well, you know, I'll get my mama to pray for you, and I'll tell my grandmama what you're going through. No, he's saying you have cultivated this kind of faith even for yourself. I know your faith, Timothy. It's genuine and it is strong. But I also understand that those women in your life, Lois, your grandmother, Eunice, your mother, they taught you something. They passed something to you. They invested their faith into you, and now you are building onward. That's a beautiful thing. I hope that when I have reached grandfather status, no time soon. Just make sure somebody heard that over there. I hope that when I have reached grand, what are they going to call me? What are my grandkids going to call me? Am I going to be Big D? Who am I going to be? I don't know. I got time, lots of time. They'll come up with all kinds of new names before I have to pick one. But I hope that when people meet my children, that they are impacted by the faith of my children. I hope that they are moved and blessed by the faith of my children. But I hope there's somebody old enough who knew me who would say, girl, you got a powerful anointing on your life. And I remember your daddy's anointing too. I remember your mama's commitment as well. I see what you're doing for God, but I it's not hard for me to believe because I remember your grandmother Lois. And I remember your mother, Eunice. That's beautiful. That is legacy. That is awesome. But hear me, there are people sitting in this room that you don't even know who your grandmother is. You don't even know who your mother is. Or maybe you have those people in your life, but there was no faith. You're the first one who is living faith. You're the first one who is walking with Jesus. You're the first one who is making this a priority in your life. And I don't want you to feel any less than. I don't want you to feel inadequate. That's where family of choice comes in, because there are grandmothers in this room. There are mothers of Zion, in Zion, in this room. There's adoptive spiritual mamas and grandmas and dads and uncles in the room that can mentor and bless and strengthen our faith walk. It is a beautiful thing. It's awesome, because we want something to be passed to us. We want something to be invested into us so that we can build also. But what is going to be said about you and I? Verse 6, Paul says to Timothy, this is why I remind you to fan into flames the spiritual gift God gave you when I laid my hands on you. For God has not given us a spirit of fear and timidity, but of power, love, and self-discipline. Paul said, Timothy, I do not want you to forget who you are or where you came from. As the church changes through the years, as different practices are picked up along the way, maybe that's why I am stirred up. Maybe that's what pandemic did for me. I told y'all a few weeks ago, I figured you're probably ready to send me back to Texas because there is a fire that is lit in me and it's probably not going to go out. So if you're hanging around kicking the tire, I know I tell you to come back next Sunday and just maybe I'll be calmer next Sunday. I don't know that I really am going to be, if I'm honest. You just got to want some of this fire, because I don't know how to put the fire out. Jesus has done something in my life. I'm watching him do something in your life. And why in the world would we want to be born in the fire but live in the smoke? Why don't we just live in the fire? We know we're all happier in the fire. We know we're all better in the fire. We know we're all healthier in the fire. We might as well live in the fire. Sound like a good idea to me? Paul said, I don't want you to forget where you came from. And you need to fan into flames the spiritual gift that God gave to you. He said, I was there, Timothy. There is no doubt in my mind you were baptized into fire. I was there. I saw it. I was a part of the miracle. I had my hand laid on you when God did that thing in your life, and it was awesome, but I do not want you to forget. I do not want you to forget, and you need to keep that gift stirred up in your life, because God has not given us the spirit of fear. If ever you're thinking, well, I need to be quiet, I need to hold peace, I need to just kind of live over here in the shadows, he said, no. You have not been given the spirit of fear or timidity. You have been given a boldness. You need to be living your faith out loud. You need to be living your faith just, you know, extra. You need to be all out with your faith, not fear, not timid, not scared, because that's what God did for you. And what God has given us is enough for the times that we are living in. It's enough. It's enough. I know this season has felt like too much. I know this season has been overwhelming. I know the last year and a half has been daunting, but hear me. What God gave us is enough for the times that we are living in. The reason it's daunting is because we haven't realized that yet. We haven't understood that yet. We're just wishing for yesteryear and days gone by and hoping that things are going to change. That's why I need to bring a little reality today. I realize one president said it was all going to go away, and the other said get a shot and it's all going to go away. But apparently both of those men have not been completely correct in their assessment. It was out of their hope. It was out of their love. It was out of their we wish it would be this way. But you and I are tasked with sorting out the details, and I can't lose my faith in this season. I can't become so overcome by fear and so overwhelmed in timidity that I'm not living my faith out loud in this season. I know Hollywood doesn't like it. I know there's an actor somewhere that doesn't care, but listen, I don't care that they don't care. This is who Jesus is to me. This is what he put into me, and I'm not going to be quiet because someone is offended by it. How about that, choir? That doesn't mean I have to be offensive to people. That doesn't mean I have to be unkind to anyone. I'm not going to be. But at the same time, I'm not going to be pushed over. I'm all out of cheeks. I've turned all of them. So at some point, you got to stand flat-footed and say, you know what? I'm fighting for the faith of my family. Fighting for the faith of my family. I'm sorry, my son is not going to wear a tutu. I don't care who says it's in style. I'm going to fight for the faith of my family. I'm going to fight for the faith of my family. I'm trying to inspire you to fight with me. And let's fight together so that we see God do something great in our community. So verse 80 says, don't ever be ashamed. Don't ever be ashamed to tell others about our Lord. And don't be ashamed of me either. Even though I am in prison for him. I'm in jail for preaching. But that shouldn't deter you from preaching, Timothy. I'm in prison for my faith. But that shouldn't cause you to be quiet about your faith. With the strength God gives you, be ready to suffer with me for the sake of the good news. You see, this is the difference in the old church and the new church. The old church was willing to die for their faith. You and I don't know if we've come to terms. I don't know if we understand. I don't know if we realize that persecution is possible. I've always been a pre-trib guy. Revelation 4:1, the rapture of the church. I've had to stop and think in recent days. Have I just believed that because that's the easiest thing to believe? I'm not having a faith crisis here. Just walk with me just a moment. Just allowing you into some of my own thoughts. Am I believing that just because that keeps me from having to process the what ifs? If the church is going to go through some stuff, I mean, we've been going through some stuff. But what if we are going to experience more and see more and feel more than maybe we thought or were taught that we were going to experience? Is our faith ready to survive that? Can we handle that? That's what I keep hearing the Lord say in my spirit. You have to prepare my people in Covington. You have to prepare my people in Newton County. Prepare my people in Rockdale. Prepare my people in Wall. You have to prepare the people. Tell them. You have to prepare. Strengthen their faith so that when the wind blows, when the water begins to rise, we do not fall out of faith, but that we remain strong and we remain grounded and we remain rooted in our faith. Does anybody want this for your family? No days off. I came straight off a beach to tell you this today. Lord, I'm ready to go back to that beach. But I feel something burning in me, and I feel something. Felt so strong for several months. Make August family month. Talk to families. We're coming back to school. We're going back to school. I keep waiting for an email to drop, a voicemail to come. You just never know. We're living minute by minute. But as far as I know, my kids, regardless of whether they're school or not, they are leaving our house tomorrow morning at 7:30. You out. Lunch is packed. Get out. Love you. But you got to go. We're trying to get routine back as family. We're trying to get schedule under control. We've been living loose all summer. We've had fun. It's been great, but trying to get back into some sort sense of order. And I felt like the Lord said, you need to talk to families. You need to prepare families. You need to get families ready for what is happening. So Paul said, don't be ashamed. Don't be ashamed. As crazy as the world gets, we must not be ashamed of who Jesus is or what Jesus has done in our lives. Paul said in verse 11, God chose me to be a preacher, an apostle, and a teacher of this good news. This is why I'm suffering here in prison, but I'm not ashamed of it, for I know the one in whom I trust and am sure that he is able to guard what I have entrusted to him until the day of his return. So many times in Paul's writing, he said, I'm a prisoner of Christ. This is not man succeeding in quieting me. No, Paul was in prison and wrote 13 books of the New Testament, writing this book that we're using to have our faith built and inspired today. It was written from prison. It was a part of Paul's purpose. I don't know if Paul ever would have written. I don't know if he ever would have slowed down from planting churches and raising up. I don't know that he ever would have stopped doing what he was doing hands-on if he had not been put into prison where he could tell Timothy, bring my coat, bring me some parchment, bring paper and pens, because I've got something God is telling me to write down. And here we are studying one of those books today, and our faith is built because of it. God chose you and I to represent him in this season. Oh, if I just could have been born in those 50s, if I just could have lived next door to them Waltons, they were real people, right? If the Brady Bunch could have been my neighbors, oh, to live in a different time where there were different values. No, God born you in 1972. God purposed you in 1979. God prepared you in 1982. God formed you in 1957. He wanted you to live right now. Not another time. You weren't born another time. You were born now. You're alive now. You're still breathing now. That means your purpose is for now. I'm an old soul. I like that old music. I like that old way. That's great. I got a little of that in me as well. But I was born in this season. That must mean that my purpose is for this season. So I got to do something with what God has entrusted in me. I'm not going to be embarrassed, nor am I going to be ashamed to preach the gospel. I'm going to do it now. I'm going to preach now without fear or favor. I'm going to do it now. Hold on, verse 13, to the pattern of wholesome teaching you learned from me, a pattern shaped by the faith and love that you have in Christ Jesus. Through the power of the Holy Spirit who lives within us, carefully guard these precious truth, the precious truth that has been entrusted to you. I want you to guard this, Timothy. Hold this. So this message today is just titled Family Meeting. We're just having family meeting. Can't have a family series without having a family meeting. Sometimes in our house, it's, hey, family meeting. Everybody comes from their corner. Everybody comes from their place, and we gather in a central location. We figure out what it is that we need to figure out, decide what it is we need to decide, work through whatever it is that we need to work through. Sometimes you just got to have a family meeting. Today is a family meeting. I know people are catching a last weekend before school. Some are on their way back in on two wheels trying to get the school year ready. That's great. It's beautiful. It's wonderful. I'm so thankful for everyone that's here and everyone that is online. Thank you for being a part of family meeting. But let me give you some truth in the family meeting. We have to know who we are. As a family, blood, family, kin, family of choice, we have to know who we are. With a world that is struggling to know their identity, when identity has become so fluid, When identity does not seem to matter anymore, I promise you, the devil is so good at his job. Because Christ came to give us an identity, and the enemy is working to tell you, you don't need an identity. Doesn't matter. Just be whatever. Just lean into your flesh and be whatever it wants to be. No, I rebuke that. Because we need to identify our unique values. What are our unique values? What are the values of your family? Whether you're a family unit of one or a family unit of six or seven or ten, what are your family values? You've got to determine this. You've got to decide this. Because if you do not decide, if you do not point your kids in a direction, the world is going to continue to try to twist them and turn them and distract them and pull them and call them and lure them with the best looking stuff they have ever seen. Every temptation known to man. But the thing that keeps bringing them back to home base is the fact that they know there are unique values that they are living and that they are aspiring to. Are they going to mess up? Absolutely. Are they going to make mistakes? Yes. But we're going to keep coming back to home base to say, hey, we know who we are. Hoopers don't cheat. Hoopers don't lie. Hoopers don't take. This is who we are. We've got to know what our values are. We have to know who we are. Sorry, guests. It's just corn, bean, and taters today. Come back next Sunday. He said, I know where grandmother Lois stood. I know where your mother Eunice stood. I know the integrity, the moral, the character that they live by. All of those things are spiritual. But let me tell you something else. We need to over-communicate our values. Because we forget too easily. Our kids forget. They say something has to be repeated hundreds of times before it ever gets really instilled in the brain. Got to say something time and time and time again. And as parents, you find yourself saying, how many times have I told you? Well, the truth is 1,817,000. That's how many times. Well, here's 1,000,000. I don't even remember what number I just used. Here's one more. I'm going to keep telling you this because it's right. It's true. It's right. I'm going to keep telling you that you are the head and not the tail. I'm going to keep telling you that he is a champion and you're on his team, which means you are undefeated. You are a winner. Pastor, you told us that last Sunday. I know. And then you went and struggled and fought hell and tried to sort through all of the difficulty of last week. Here you are facing a brand new week. You need to know that you are a winner and that God in you is greater than the world against you. You need to know that you are a champion with him and you are victorious. Come back next Sunday and I'll probably tell you again that you are God's daughter. You are God's son. You are God's family. And you are a success in the spirit. Because the devil keeps trying to get us off track. Cause us to forget who we are. We have to over-communicate our values. Don't forget, Timothy. This is why I remind you. I'm telling you again. I'm calling you early on Saturday morning when you could be sleeping in to tell you one more time. Don't forget to fan into flames. Don't forget the experience you had when I was praying with you. We have to over-communicate our values. You know what else we need to do? We need to tell stories. We got to know who we are, but in order to know who we are, we got to tell stories. Tell the stories of family. Tell the stories. I love I don't do it all the time. I don't just sit around talking about this all the time, but sometimes it comes out of me. Sometimes it comes and telling stories of the old days or early days of evangelizing or whatever it was that God was doing, and tell my kids these things and want them to know that their legacy is rich, wanting them to know that their heritage is rich, wanting them to know that this did not just start in 2017, October 29, when you asked us to come and serve in Covington. No, this has been going on a long time. This is not just some fly-by-night deal. We got history. We got tears in a bottle. We've got dreams that have been dreamt a long time. This is not just some fly-by-night operation. We are in this for the long haul. We have to know who we are. Gotta know. We gotta know. Secondly, we gotta know who we are. Secondly, we gotta know where we're going. We gotta know where we're going. How do we know where we're going? We gotta clarify the vision. We have to clarify the vision. Otherwise, how will we accomplish what God has called us to do? If the vision is not clear, we have to be intentional about where we're going. I'll tell you something else. We need to identify the single most important objective. What is the number one objective for your kids, for your marriage, for your family, for this church? Can I tell you, heaven is still a really good goal. It's still the right objective. So whatever I do today, I'm going to work toward that objective. I'm not going to be careless today with that objective. I'm not going to assume that if I waste today, I've got tomorrow. No, I'm going to be intentional about today. Some of you are not scared because you've never smelled smoke. I'm going to tell you, the church in 2021 needs to smell some smoke so that there is an urgency, that there is a realization that, hey, I cannot play with my faith. I cannot play. If you'll come, it'll encourage me and I'll be done. Just a moment. We have to keep our eyes on the prize, because it's a distracting world. We got to keep our eyes up. We got to set our affections on things above. I refuse to think worldly, live worldly. I'm in the world, not of the world. That means I don't live my life down to their way of thinking. That sounds so elitist. That sounds so privileged. That sounds so all the buzzwords of 2021. Call it whatever you need to call it. I'm living by the Bible, the ultimate authority. Trump is not my authority. Biden is not my authority. Kemp is not my authority. The guy in Florida is not my authority. I'm living by the authority of the Word of God. Just a family meeting. I respect that authority. If a police officer stops me today, I'm not giving him no back talk. I'm not arguing with him. I probably was speeding. Maybe. One of the kids this week was just arguing. I was only going 3 miles over. It was just 3 miles over. They gave me a ticket. Or I think they failed a driving test because they were on their driving test. Good grief. On the driving test. Speeding is an automatic fail. I got a kid about to take driving test. You can't speed, but that's just general. Oh, it was just 3 miles. No, you can't speed. There's rules. There's laws. Got to obey them. Keep your eyes on the prize. So we got to know who we are. We got to know where we're going. We have to know how we're doing. We got to know how we're doing. You got to take inventory. Family meeting, you got to talk about, hey, you're slacking on your chores. Laundry's piling up. That trash has got to be out Sunday night. Got to know how you're doing. Got to be able to take feedback. Got to be able to be parented or coached or mentored or advised or counseled or pastored or taught. We're living in a day where we don't want any feedback from anyone. Boss, you ain't gonna tell me what to do. Well, then guess what? You're fired. That's the way it works. But society says, you got a right not to be told what you're doing wrong. And it's ruining our society. It's ruining. It's ruining our nation, our world. I'm not trying to be political today. I promise you I'm not. I don't do that. The Bible is my authority. How am I doing with my purpose? First, I need to know what my purpose is. What is it that God has called me to do? And then how am I doing with what it is He's called me to do? How are we doing in our relationships? How are our relationships going? Are the people in my life, are they pushing me forward? Or are they holding me back? Got to take inventory. I would advise you to keep the ones that are pushing you forward. Distance yourselves. You got the perfect excuse. I'm sorry, you look like you have COVID. I gotta take a step back. Distance yourself from the people that are holding you back. Well, Pastor, how am I going to be a witness to? I got to keep some knuckleheads around me so I got somebody to witness to. That's great and good as long as you're influencing them and not they influencing you. If you talk different when you're around them than you do when you're around me, then keep me and drop them. This is old school preaching, but it sounds so harsh in 2021 because we're not used to being told the truth. I got to know how I'm doing. And then finally, what is the health of my relationship with God? Because it all begins right here. What is my standing? What is my standing with God? What is my standing with God? I need to know where I am. I need to know where I'm going. I need to know how I'm doing. Well, Pastor Darrell, some of that today has made me a little mad. Good, then I've done my job. Because my job is not to pet and console and just continue to send you off into wrong thinking. Sometimes got to challenge. That's what family meeting is. Sometimes you got to challenge. Hey, check yourself. Take inventory of your life. Decide what is right, what is good, and what God wants for you. I've got more teaching, but I'm going to close here because I feel the Lord. I want you to be a part of this month. Next Sunday, our guest, it's going to be a great Sunday. Treat it like a revival Sunday. Bring some with you. You got friends at work. You got gal pals and buddies and neighbors and coworkers and people that are processing life, people that are dealing. Come on, bring somebody to the house of God with you. Get them in this environment. Let's talk about the family. Sometimes people are more receptive to teaching on the family than they are thinking someone's going to preach against sin or, you know, let's talk about the family. Everyone's interested in their family being better. Father, I pray that you would help us today. I pray that you would speak to our minds, our hearts, our spirits today. We are your family. We are the family of God. There's stress maybe in our respective families. There's difficulty. I don't know every situation. There's challenges. But without knowing anyone's details, I just know life. I know reality. I know the season. I know the difficulties of trying to navigate relationship. In these last days, and here we are, Lord, here we are throwing ourselves at your feet. Here we are saying, Lord, we don't know how to do this on our own. We cannot manage this by ourselves. We have to yield to you. We have to submit to you. We have to come into agreement with your word, and we have to make sure that our lives align with your word. The alignment is important, otherwise I just drift, and I just incrementally, a degree at a time get off track until before long, if I let the wheel go, I'm in a ditch. Because my life is out of alignment. But today, Lord, today you can do that healing work, that miraculous work, that proven work in my life. I've got toxic people in my life. I've got dysfunctional people, and we'll talk about them over the course of this series. But today, Lord, today I've got to know who I am. I've got to know where I'm going. And I've got to talk about how I'm doing. And today, Lord, today, I'm asking you to heal, work, and move in our lives. In Jesus' name, why don't you stand with me across the room today? When I open up my mouth,
start breaking out. I have the authority.
Oh,
Jesus has given it. And when I lift my voice and shout, every wall comes crashing down. I have the authority.
Oh,
Jesus has.